Blog Talk Radio.
Once George was the kind of guy, George Dixon was, you know, he
He was a man of many, many searches, and he looked into everything. And I can't tell you the fascinating information that he gave to me over the years. Everything from the Emerald Tablets up to, you know, introducing me to Al Bielek and guys like Preston Nichols and, you know, people like that. It's an odd menagerie of friends, and that had remarkable differences and interests. And George always believed that he was in the fourth dimension. He said, "Leo, this is the fourth dimension." He says, "We've been there. We've always been there." He says, "It's where we operate from." He says, it's just, you know, seeing it, just understanding that it's there in front of you. And, you know, at that point, recognizing it, you know, and recognizing your own joy, your own dreams are all there right in front of you. And unfortunately, we have to abide by the third dimensional laws of aging and gravity and everything else. But, you know, and those can be extremely, extremely difficult. And George, I know George for years suffered from different maladies to his heart and his lungs, and but that never stopped him, you know, till the end. And he always insisted on keeping going. And George was the quintessential philosopher, I think. You know, a working man's philosopher. He believed in UFOs. He counseled the abductees. He understood black op programs better than anybody, and he was a former Marine. I didn't mean to do a tribute to George. I just was trying to preface this show a little bit, because what I learned from him, anticipating this time, was that you know, it's the time we're in. Always has been. And you know, with that, I haven't been inactive, even though I have been without voice. I wanted to say that I've done quite a bit of writing each day, and I tried to keep up on things, even though I've been rather sick. I came down to things. I wanted to go back to a couple of weeks ago, actually. If you haven't been to my website, you can go to lasteelshow.org. And I've had tremendous, I want to thank my international audience. My God, I've just been so impressed at how many people from overseas are reading my material every day. And, you know, and this site is getting over, you know, almost over 1,000 visitors a day. And that's a remarkable number, as far as I'm concerned, it is. To others, of course, you know, it's not that much, but, you know, to me, I appreciate everybody who's out there and who's reading this stuff. And I write it for you, basically. I write it for the people to try to, they can't understand what I'm trying to say, but also that there's a message here. There's a kind of, for years and years and years, we've been talking about this stuff, and finally we're here, you know, now.
I wanted to start tonight's show by reading some of my latest articles. And a few odd things have happened this year, the last few weeks. And I would like to start at the beginning of the maybe 2 weeks ago, when I started to develop these. I wanted to go into just a couple of, I'm not sure if I did this the other night. I think I did. Yeah, I did this one. Okay. I stopped there. I'm going to go to the most recent time of no time. I know that I read this on last week's show that we ended with this. Let us go to And I think it's even more appropriate now as we're living on the fiscal cliff. But the name of this essay is called Living on the Edge. Most Americans today are living on the edge of their own fiscal cliff. But this is a normal condition for billions of people around the world. It may be the times of the world economy, but so many reports from around the world state that the entire world seems on the edge of a cliff. Spain, Greece, Portugal are sliding over the edge as their people hold on to their roots or their culture. Families just survive the harsh austerity imposed upon them. We see these million dependents, we see these problems in the U.S., however. Our media barely reports on the needs of Americans. Over 3 million homeless, 50 million dependent on food stamps, millions still in foreclosure. Even those with savings are receiving virtually nothing on their savings accounts. The desperation of so many people is almost impossible to comprehend. Yet their resilience is keeping them alive. As the winter weather settles in, the cost of fuel to keep warm is escalating, as it always does in the winter. The great indifference of so many in our government and governments around the world is a crime against humanity. These government officials who receive big salaries and premium health benefits, all paid for by the taxes of the people, are ignoring those who elected them because it is an unpunishable crime, and they create the laws that immune them from prosecution. Indifference to the suffering of others by those in power is a form of negligent homicide if anyone dies because of their indifference. Hundreds of thousands of people are dying from wars and famines caused by their own governments. It is an illusion of false security. It keeps us all in some state of dependence on the same people responsible for our suffering. Dependence on those who cause the problems in society is exactly why our societies are failing. Domestic violence is rising, homelessness is rampant, serious health conditions are rising due to the nutritionless food we eat, approved by the FDA and marketed to us by mega corporations as tasty and good for us. Deadly diseases are caused by vaccinations and harmful and contaminated foods, and cures are marketed as prescription drugs with deadly or severe side effects. The entire world system is designed for maximum population reduction and maximum profits for corporations. Eugenics advocates like Bill Gates have invested billions of their own money on methods to reduce human population and create global genocide. I am amazed by the remarkable kindness and generosity of so many people, helping friends and family members and giving to those in dire need. At the same time, so many other people display obsessive selfishness and cruelty. What possesses an individual to delight in being cruel and heartless? They may be wealthy or poor, or income levels do not prevent cruelty or indifference to others. We see people fighting each other in stores over a flat-screen television or an iPhone or some other consumer item. People are warned not to talk on their iPhones in public areas in American cities because of the recent rash of muggings of iPhone owners. All status symbols are in jeopardy of being stolen. Copper piping is being ripped out of homes and office buildings by thieves for the few cents per pound they can receive for the metal. It is easy to understand why bank robberies, car thefts, and burglaries are rising to unprecedented levels. And what is hard to believe is how calm and seemingly indifferent the American society is to these crimes and the reasons for them. The worst crimes are corporate crimes. We see corporate CEOs stealing pension funds for their own bonuses, bankrupting companies by borrowing excessive loans against company assets with the intention of destroying the company and laying off their workers. They steal their pensions and economically destroy entire communities. These ruthless criminals are never punished. They are financially rewarded. We are on on the edge of disaster because we are ignoring all the signs of our own obsessions and indifference to others and what is happening around us. We burrow our heads in the wasteland of television and video games, Facebook and Twitter, pop music, junk food, drugs and alcohol. The mind-altering methods of the news and entertainment media have driven our madness into a psychosis. We believe their illusions of insatiable consumerism and corporate and governmental benevolence, while they steal from us and war against us. Our days are filled with anxiety and stresses caused by this system of world dominance by corporations and their crony governments. The world is on the edge of dramatic change. Whether it is a good change or a bad change will depend upon the awakening of oppressed people around the world uniting together in a single force to strike down all that oppresses us and establish a world of individual freedom and true justice. A world where we can all live without fear or poverty or indifference to the suffering of others.
God has allowed this before and continues.
allow it. Hundreds of thousands of children have been killed in Palestine, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan in recent months and years by the direct order of American presidents or their genocidal allies. Millions of children and their parents have been murdered in African conflicts due to American interventions there. Billions of children are starving around the world due to American wars and sanctions and arms sales to brutal dictators. In the United States, 1 in 4 children live in poverty. Unspeakable historical and biblical accounts of slaughters of innocent children have been known for thousands of years. Massacres of unbelievable proportions have been inflicted upon the American Indians, Russians, Jews, Chinese, Japanese, Cambodians, Africans, Irish, Asian Indians, and countless indigenous people, and continues. Yet today, Americans are concentrating on their most recent loss. God never explains himself in these atrocities. He merely allows them to happen and continue to happen until everyone who escapes the massacres thank God for their safety and the safety of their loved ones. Perhaps by allowing these horrors to continue to occur, God tests our faith and strength. But today my faith is shaken. Today my strength is weakened. Today the country mourns the death of 20 innocent children while they ignore the death of millions of children around the world. Newtown, Connecticut is an upscale white community in one of the wealthiest states in the country. What makes this tragedy so shocking to Americans is that it happened in a white, upper-middle-class community, not a poor, violence-ravaged city or country where child murders are sponsored by the American government and its genocidal allies. No one in the United States today can ignore their own vulnerability to an insane act of violence. But they still ignore the horrors their government inflicts on children in other countries. The age of American innocence is gone forever. The dreams of safe havens for American families have been shattered by the Newtown massacre. The joy of Christmas this year for many Americans, and especially those of Newtown, Connecticut, has been turned off by this tragedy. We all stand like Christmas trees without lights or decorations. There is no possible way to console the parents of those innocent children who needlessly died. Neither is there any way to console anyone who has lost a child, either through accident, murder, or war. The slaughter of innocents is an ancient omen for a great coming change. Herod killed all children in his kingdom under the age of 2 years old to prevent the coming of Christ. Perhaps we can understand the tragedy of this murder of 20 children and the continued murder and starvation of millions of innocent children as an omen of what is to come. If we do not change our individual and national consciousness to end all war and conflict, these horrors will continue and worsen. In this time of great loss for America, I hope our national conscience will change by the shock of this event to less selfishness and greater compassion for all who lose loved ones around the world. And may the horrible, needless sacrifice of those 20 Newtown children be a stark reminder to everyone of the preciousness of life.
Interesting the last few weeks. And, you know, this particular, when I wrote on the 16th, the day after the other one, and as news started, more news started to come out, it was frightening how poorly reported everything was regarding this. Then the facts started to come out. The corrections of news media reporting on the Newtown Massacre, as of December 16th. It has been 3 days since the massacre in Newtown, Connecticut, and more details of the shooting of 20 school children and 7 adults have been released. The absurd number of inaccuracies of the previously reported news on the massacre makes the entire American news media a complete joke. The first errors in the detailed reporting reported by the American news networks on Friday, the day of the shooting, were the shooter's name, his mother's name, and where the shooter lived. It was first reported that he lived in New Jersey and that his father was found dead in a New Jersey home. Neither of these were true. The shooter used his older brother's identification. Police could not identify the shooter's mother either until one day later, who he shot in the face and left dead in their Newtown home. It turned out that all the guns the shooter used were registered to his mother. Anyone must ask what kind of mother in her right mind would own a Bush assault rifle, 4 automatic pistols, knowing her 20-year-old son who lived with her was insane. And according to reports by people who knew her, said she probably announced that she and her son would practice at the gun range together. It was first reported on Friday, the day of the shooting, that all the children murdered were in kindergarten and 5 years old. Not until today, when the bodies were identified, was it released by the coroner that all the murdered children were between the ages of 6 and 7 and were in the first grade. As the national media swarmed on the tragic community, more inaccurate statements were made by busy news reporters reporting hearsay and proudly acknowledging that their newsrooms were monitoring Twitter and Facebook for new updates. Today is Sunday. There are still strange and conflicting reports being reported by the media. Some still insist on reporting that all who were killed were kindergartners and their teachers. I read a brief report this morning on CLG.org that stated the rabbi of the Newtown Synagogue stated to the media that the principal of the school was shot execution style. Media was stated that she was shot as she tried to confront the shooter and protect the children and that she was a hero. There was no official statement that she was shot execution style. The network news reported on Saturday and Friday that the shooter's brothers, a girlfriend and friend, were missing in New Jersey, but were later found, and the older brother of the shooter was brought in for a question. That was when the police realized the shooter had used his brother's ID card, and that the shooter had been mentally unstable for years, and that he and his older brother hadn't spoken to each other in 2 years. The shooter's father was alive and totally baffled by his son's actions. He divorced his wife in 2008 and lived in New Jersey, apart from his ex-wife and his youngest son, who both lived together in Newtown, Connecticut, and a short distance from the Sandy Hook Elementary School. In the next few days, the week and weeks, hopefully more accurate information will come out about this massacre. But until then, no one can trust anything being said about the massacre of 20 children, except that all were between the ages of 6 and 7 years old, and were found dead at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. And all the victims' names have been officially released. It was also reported that one other person of interest was found in the woods near the school after the shooting, dressed in black and camouflage. He insisted he had nothing to do with the massacre, but is being considered a person of interest. As is typical of the American news media, nothing they ever say or report on is accurate. It is clear, first by the CIA and FBI, who are assigned to the networks to review all news releases. And the facts are rewritten and broadcast in this truth of the situation when it is completely fabricated. The news coverage of the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre is more of a completely chaotic, crazy assault of the viewers by highly emotional reporting aimed at delivering maximum emotional responses for the audience with bogus facts, and the rewriting of the story to cover up the errors and incompetence of all involved with the crime, all who are investigating it, and all who are reporting it. Last night I dreamed I lived in a different world where everyone was smiling and happy. Everyone had everything they needed and wanted. There was no hunger, sorrow, illness, or darkness, no anger, hatred, or jealousy. There was no loss, pain, or death. In this world, no one was lonely, no one aged. Beautiful trees and flowers, crystal clear rivers and oceans, thriving with life. I was a child experiencing incomprehensible joy. Connecticut burying their child today, or tomorrow.
This would be a doomsday for them. Doomsday is more of a personal day of hardship. It may be the day someone is murdered or commits suicide. It may be the day a bomb crashes into your home and kills you and your family, as it does so often in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Gaza. It may be the day you are given your layoff notice after 25 years of working for the same company. It may be waking up this morning in a war-ravaged city or neighborhood to death and destruction all around you, or never waking up at all. Our lives are like television sets running reruns 24 hours a day until we change the channel or turn off the television and focus on reality. Are our lives desperate or blessed? What blesses one life from the next? What gives someone vast wealth, personal health and beauty, and a life of fulfillment as opposed to someone who is deformed and impoverished in a life of misery and hardship? Some religions explain it through karma. Others explain it through faith. Others explain it as a curse or a blessing to an individual by God. And regardless what our rationalization is for this eternal question, what we are experiencing today is the conscious awareness of world injustice and inequality as never before in human history. Our great awakening has been brought about by the technological advances of the 20th and 21st century that allows everyone the ability to share our personal experiences and thought, or pictures or movies with others instantly via internet and broadcast mediums. This miraculous ability of worldwide communications has opened the minds and hearts and souls of billions of people to be able to understand the joy or suffering of other people and to see and hear the sounds of war or the acts of war and hatred being waged against other human beings, as well as acts of compassion and concern, art and music. Our technology brings these images and sounds close to us and immediately. This technology was never available to anyone 100 years ago. The living standards of billions of people have become improved rapidly and significantly. Medical advancements in the last 100 years have given billions of people a longer and healthier life. The Mayans were not wrong about the changing era. Only those of us who want to believe in impending doom or a similar end-time scenario we imagine are wrong. Ascension of human consciousness is far too significant an event to occur on one day. It has occurred over 1.6 billion years before, according to this Mayan calendar of creation, and humanity is now entered its predicted new age of enlightenment. Changes of this magnitude inevitably produce mania in people, ranging from peace and joy to paranoia and depression. Most of us will survive this transition and thrive in a new era once we realize that we have already ascended and adjust ourselves to the great change. After I wrote that, something disturbing took place in our neighborhood, about a block or so away from where I live. And one of my neighbors committed suicide, or that's what I was told. I haven't announced his name, and I won't. Though I didn't know him very well. I'd just like to read this. Yeah, the suicide. A man committed suicide yesterday. He lives several blocks. blocks away from me and had a large brown dog that he kept off its leash that would often attack other dogs in the neighborhood. I heard this man was being evicted on the first of the month for causing too many problems in his apartment building. The few times I met him, he was rude, confrontational, and threatening, which made me realize he was unstable. But I didn't expect him to be suicidal. I'm sorry to think this was my only memory of him. One of his neighbors told me he was severely abused as a child, which caused many of his problems. I was surprised that he had committed suicide, though his neighbor said she was becoming afraid and worried that something might happen to him, or he might go crazy and hurt someone. His neighbor was shocked and saddened that he took his own life, but relieved he hadn't killed anyone else. We never seem to know how mentally unstable someone is until they kill themselves or someone else. Though I know very little about this man, I still feel sad for him. But all I know of him is all most people knew, that he was an angry man who owned a large, mean dog and took his own life.
Have transcended dimensions.
Christmas Eve came around, and I had a thought. Merry Christmas from the fourth dimension. It is a beautiful place to be when all the Christmas lights are turned on and the house breathes with warmth and spices. There are thousands of people like me walking around and flying around and talking with everyone about how incredible it is to be here and amazed that we made it. I see a pretty woman smiling at me from across the room, where people are dancing and fiddlers fiddling and singers singing. I see a shining blonde wood dance floor with sword blades blazing of kinship in the fourth dimensional realm. Shining mirror of red wine still filled with a silver glass. All is for you to have. Here everyone is who has died. We are as angels on the top of a Christmas tree, smiling peacefully. On December 5th, rather. I believe that was the last one I wrote. Yeah. It was on Christmas. You know, and the show tonight with this. It's called Santa Says Hi from the Fourth Dimension. We all knew Santa Claus didn't live in the third dimension. He just visited it one night each year. Santa is a four-dimensional spirit that resides here in the fourth dimension. He and his wife and all the elves and helpers are fourth dimensional too. They magically create all the toys and things kids want for Christmas. I was hanging out with a few elves last night after Santa took off. They have a big all-night staff party after Santa leaves and have a lot of fun. I didn't know Mrs. Claus was such a great party host. And she sings beautifully also. I've been enjoying myself since I became a four-dimensional. I can't believe what a downer third-dimensional Christmas can be with cold weather and snowstorms. Too much company, too much food, and heavy highway traffic and bad gifts. Here in 4D, Christmas is a blast. It is all for the sake of giving and all this for the sake of kindness, friendship, and joy of the season. All the news in 4D is good news. Everything anyone does is a good thing to do. 4D people do good things. They don't know how to do bad things. The word bad isn't used in fourth dimension. The thought of something negative or bad doesn't exist in 4D. It takes a day or two of three-dimensional time to get used to the timeless nature of four dimensions. A fourth of 4D. Once you have crossed over dimensions, time does not exist. No one speaks of time. There are no minutes or seconds or watches or clocks. The sun is up when you want it to be, and darkness comes when you want it to, or when you close your eyes. We can sleep in 4D, but we do not dream. We merely meditate and focus on what we wish to do or where we wish to go. Time is non-existent. Everyone in 4D is immortal. In 4D, everyone you meet is like you are. No one argues in 4D because all truth is obvious and inevitable. argument prefers to stay in 3D. Anyone who enjoys conflict of any sort prefers to stay in 3D. Anyone who'd want to remain hostile or argumentative is due to unresolved 3D issues. So they are advised to stay in 3D until their issues are resolved. It is much like the same, is much the same with reincarnation, except our 4D transformation is a conscious one. Our ascendance is a conscious one. We decide if we want to ascend or not. The choice is ours. The difference is that we know we have the choice. Prior to this year, 2012, we were still bound to 3D existence. Well, I've said enough for now about 4D existence. It's a remarkable place that is easily accessible. All you have to do is cross over in your next daydream and stay there a while. Get acquainted with a few residents and come when you are ready. You will find how ready you and those around you are ready to join us in 4D. Have a great Christmas, or at least the best you can. And remember that Christmas in 4D is the best Christmas you could ever have. Just imagine what your best Christmas would be, and know that you can have it in 4D. Merry Christmas from the fourth dimension. Ali Stu. And with that, I'm going to end tonight's show. Thank you for listening. I'm glad I was able to get through it without breaking up here. But I do hope you enjoyed it. And hopefully we'll be back with Lila Tuesday night, Wednesday night.